live to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Colger Hall. It's articles of news. Well, technically, I think for the week of the 19th of September.
We're a week off, aren't we?
Yeah. And so we'll do another one this week. So though today be the 26th, Monday the 26th, we'll call it September 19th. It's me, Richie T, and Brother Kyle.
Hey there.
And that's it. Nobody else.
Nobody will. When they see us two signed up, everybody's like, my kid has to wash their hair.
My sick kids. Janae Manite was going to be here with us today. She'll probably join us in an episode later this week. Also, maybe I'm calling out Joni. Maybe. Who knows?
One of our sickly people that can maybe come in.
Yeah, maybe if we can drag him. Haven't heard from Lindsay in a while. I think maybe we could guilt Lindsay into coming in.
She's probably busy, you know, reading the news.
Well, she's a new mom.
At Heavenly Father Station.
Yeah. but anyway, it's you and I. The weather here in Utah has started to be fall. Does that change your riding and your biking and your all that, your worky out stuff?
Yeah, it will when it gets bad. I've only got two races left, and they're not here.
They're elsewhere?
Yeah.
Where are they?
I'm heading down this weekend to San Diego.
Okay.
To race down there.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And then a couple weeks after that in Lake Powell.
Do you get the unfair advantage like runners do? And I sort of know the answer to this question, but like you could just chew the air down in San Diego because the elevation is different?
Yes.
Is that
nice?
Yeah,
I really do. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. All the oxygen you can inhale.
Yeah, more winds in the San Diego area when you do it. Yeah,
definitely.
For real.
Yeah,
nice.
Plus, I'm from out of town, so I'm the unknown.
Right.
And I like to rub that in their face a little bit.
It's these tan, you know, tall guys.
Yeah,
ripped, and you're like
beach guys.
Yeah.
And then Whitey shows up.
Whitey, from where is that guy from? I don't know.
Whitey, where is Centerville? You did.
I bet it's in the middle.
As the crowd goes silent.
Yeah. Why doesn't he stand on the top podium? Oh, he is. Well, shoot.
You know, you laugh about that and everybody jokes about it, but it's true. When you see me, and I must say I often do stand on the top podium,
yes,
I'm about level with everybody else.
Exactly. I love those. If you end up winning this weekend, will you send a picture to us
so
we can put it up?
Yeah.
Only if everyone is just as tall as you. If you tower over everyone else, don't bother. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then the other one's in Lake Powell.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they do races at Lake Powell.
How great is that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here in October, I'll get to do one that I've never done
before. Is it around the lake? What is it?
No, I don't know where it goes. I haven't looked at it. But I thought, I'm usually done by now. Mm-hmm. But I thought, hey, a trip to San Diego? Sure. I'll go race there. And then a trip to Lake Powell?
Yeah, you bet.
Sure.
You get to go on a boat?
I'm going to get a boat down there, actually. Okay. And I'm gonna go for a few extra days on each so that I can vacation.
Jeez. Taking the kid?
Yeah.
Both times?
No, not to San Diego.
Oh,
good. Just to Powell.
Good.
Yeah.
Don't take the kid to San Diego.
No.
He doesn't appreciate it.
He does, actually.
Too much?
No, but he really likes it, so we'll take our own trip later.
Aww.
Where I don't have to race.
But he still spends time with you. That's good.
Yeah.
That won't be the forever. I want you to know that.
No, I know. It's getting there. Age 14 is getting there.
Yeah. He's 13 now, right?
He's 14. He'll be 15 shortly.
Yeah.
And he's at the...
You know, once he drives, you're gone.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need you anymore.
Uh-uh. And he right now is bad enough with... we got into it over the weekend. His parents, his mother and I, and him. His phone is acting up a little bit.
Okay.
And a little area of it. He's had it for almost 3 months.
Okay.
He had his previous phone for...
Was he looking at porn?
For Christmas, for 6 months.
Okay.
No?
Not looking at stuff he's not supposed to. What happened?
No.
Games?
Knows?
Pokemon?
All of that. Yeah. Breaking his phone. It still works, but he's breaking it. And now, I need a new phone. Here it is. It's $500. And every 3 or 4 months, he wants another $500
phone. No, you can't
phone.
Do that.
We said, no. No more. And he's been throwing a fit about it for a week now.
Oh, poor kid.
I know.
It's the one thing that you and your ex agree with. Yeah, you're not getting that phone.
Yeah.
Way to go. Turn and high five, babe. No, but yeah. What else? Anything else? You still working at home? You still living at your parents' house?
I'm working in their basement, yeah.
Yeah?
My office there and at the office. And I just got back from a work trip. I went to Las Vegas for a convention.
Yeah?
I know.
How was that?
A convention in Las Vegas.
How
was
it?
Two terrible words. It was okay.
Yeah?
I just went down for a couple days real quick.
Do you like Vegas?
I hate it.
I like everywhere. Like I here's what I love about I like a day in Vegas, right? Mormons founded Vegas, so props to us.
Yeah.
But like a day, right? Like go in the morning and you kind of peruse all the things that you've ever done already a million times, right? Like the Coke shop and the M&M place and
the
maybe
Bellagio
we should buy,
fountain.
Yeah. Oh, it's the fountains, right?
But only once, you know, like once and then you're good for 10 years.
Yeah. And then you go see like a Cirque show like a Broadway show, right?
Donnie and Marie.
Yeah. Whatever. You have a show night, right?
Britney Spears.
Yeah,
you bet.
And you hit a nice dinner before it. Done. You don't need a Vegas. You don't need Vegas for another day.
Nope.
At all.
Nope.
There is not a thing in Vegas for a Mormon person for more than a day. Like there, you have expended the day.
There are a lot of people that's their destination and they go there for a week.
Right.
And that blows me away.
I cannot imagine that. I went there one time a couple of years ago, you know, back when I was married. And
is that out now on the Cultural Hall? I didn't know.
It was like it never got below 100 the whole time I was there.
Yeah.
And I have no interest in that. So props to us for founding Vegas.
And then losing it shortly after to Satan.
No, they can have it.
I know.
Let Satan have it.
Yeah.
He can have dominion over water and Vegas and desert. Desert and water. Let Satan have desert and water. We'll take the rest.
But where are we living? We're living in a desert by the Great Salt Lake.
Well, but it's not like Vegas.
No.
Salt Lake. Anything else going on?
No, you just got back from the Windy City.
Yeah, literally this morning. Here's what I'll talk about this.
Oh, you did?
I went to a single adult branch in Chicago yesterday for church.
Oh, cool.
When I went to church a couple weeks ago, it was in a school there in Chicago. And the single adult branch was also at the same school, just later, right? Sacrament
meeting. Like in an elementary or?
Yeah, it's an elementary school in the auditorium.
In the cafeteria.
I think it's now technically like a charter school. No, it's not the cafeteria.
Okay.
It's, the raked seats and the stage and the really feedbacky microphone. So it's like, there was this guy who... So what I love about traveling is a couple of things. One I love is diversity. And I loved looking around in the congregation in Chicago and being like, oh, cool. Hey, it's not just a bunch of the same, right? And that could be whatever it is. In my mind, I'm thinking white people, but, I feel like diversity is a necessary thing, especially within the church. So I loved that. Second, I didn't bring church clothes, so I wore these tan shorts, cargo shorts that I'm wearing, and my blue snowbird t-shirt, and then my hair, which is unruly right now. Just froed out. And people came up and they're like, oh, hey, how are you?
So was everybody, like, how big of a congregation?
Like 40. It was a branch.
Okay.
And it's not very old of a branch. I think it's maybe a year. But there was this guy who spoke about patriarchal blessings. And I think he's a financial analyst or a data analyst or something like that. He was very... left-brained, and he talked about patriarchal blessings for 45 minutes. 45 minutes. Here was the deal. Yes, right? Sleepy. He was the patriarch, and a little sleepy, but if you could get past his presentation and be listening to what he was saying, it was the most phenomenal talk on patriarchal blessings I've ever heard. And so I got to thinking about that, and I was like, that's so hard, right? That's hard that here's this incredibly intelligent, well-thought-out, talk, but the presentation was really hard to kind of get through. So hopefully it was for someone else. Then another thought that I was thinking as well is, so here's a single adult branch, and there's 40, 45, and this is
Now, was everybody dressed nicely, or was there anybody in a little more casual clothing, because that's what they had?
No, everybody else was dressed.
So you stuck out like a sore thumb.
Like a sore thumb.
Okay.
Like a,
just painting
like
a picture here.
Like a hammered thumb that was bleeding, gushing. Like, in, not like if you, you know, you bite the thumbnail and blood kind of oozes up around the nail. No, no, no.
Cover
like
up a little.
Ruptured, like UHF when Emo Phillips cuts his finger off on the table saw. Call me Mr. Butterfingers. Like gushing. Like that kind of thing. That's how much I stuck out. But it was an interesting thing. So as I've contemplated maybe moving to Chicago, this would be my branch. This would be where and whom I would attend church with, right?
So you know where you would want to live already?
Yeah. Because everywhere that I want, everything that I would be doing out there is all within about a square mile of each other. So I found a place right between the two theaters that I would be taking classes and hopefully performing at. Churches right there, and there's a metro, the L train stop right there too. It's perfect, right by the Apple Store.
Well, you've really thought this out.
But here is the thing, and I don't think it's sad, and I don't think it's happy. It's a fascinating thing for me that it had never really dawned on me fully until yesterday in church. So, like, and by the way, so this branch covers all of Chicago. So these are the 45 single adults, all of Chicago. So that's probably like 7 or 8 wards, and these are the single adults from it. So if you're a single adult and you live in Chicago, like, and you're going to marry a Mormon person, like, that's it. Like, that's your pickings right there. Like,
A little slim.
Not even the tree's
been pruned.
I can't think of a great way to describe it, only that I was looking around and I was like, if I lived here and I'm not married and a Mormon person is the only type of person whom I will date, this is it.
Now, those 40 people, half are women, half are men.
Probably like 60% women and 40% men. So a little better odds for me. But that's it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
These are them.
Unless you want to spread way out of your area.
Right. I just thought that was a fascinating thing. Maybe everyone's like, yeah, duh, of course, sure. That's how it is anywhere else.
I guess if you live here in the Utah area, particularly in the area that I live, it's the opposite, where most everyone that you might date, that you might meet, mm-hmm. probably in the county that I live in, is going to be LDS.
Yeah. But not the case out there. Anyway, it was just sort of fascinating to me. It just was very finite, right? Like, okay, there's lots of single women in Utah, right? You could date lots of single women.
There's the internet.
Yeah. And there,
date
yeah.
on the internet.
Yeah, but the internet is not, like, for meeting people, like if I met someone on the internet here in Salt Lake, right? That wouldn't be so weird. But I feel like when you're going beyond like 2 hours on the internet, like then I think it starts to get not weird, but difficult, right? Hey, how are you? I'm great. Want to move here? No? Cool. P.S. See you later. Right?
Well,
unless you do you, you've never done the long distance thing before, have you?
No.
Yeah. I don't think that I could.
Think about it. You only have to see her maybe once a month. The best relationships I know of are people that don't see each other very much.
Okay.
Not that that's something bad. I've just seen that's what happens.
But, no, sure, sure.
But think about it. When, you know, if you move to Chicago, Cubby fan, you're wearing your Cubby shirt today.
I know. It's a brand new Cubby shirt.
Yeah. I happened to jump on social media just when you were live putting a picture of a baseball game, and I don't know what was going on. I couldn't hear the song.
It was the so at the end of the of Cubs games, they always do "Go Cubs, go, go Cubs, go." Hey Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today, and everybody sings it. It's crazy. It's pandemonium.
Yeah, everybody's standing up and singing. I thought it was the seventh inning stretch.
No,
or they sing "Take Me Out to the Ball."
No,
game.
But they do that, and they have an organ. Well, I mean, everybody has an organ, but like the stadium, it has an organ. I don't know what my deal with the finite of the singles I guess what it is that my heart kind of goes out to those people, right?
So is it something that would it, keep you?
No,
is
it doesn't.
Is it a con against moving there?
It doesn't sway me one way or another. But it just, like, if I lived there and a Mormon person was what I wanted to date and be with, like you look around and you go, all right, who am I compatible with here?
Yeah. These 23 women.
Yeah, what one of these 23 women, and if you go out with each of the 23 women and you're not compatible for whatever reason with any of them, then what?
Then you head to the internet.
Well, yeah, but
find somebody.
But if you're not doing the long distance thing, like, you know, like, do you start praying, hey, God, lead a woman here for me or a man here for me?
Have somebody be widowed and have to enter this ward?
Right. Something? I don't know. I just... That was an interesting...
A rich widow, somebody die and their husband leaves them a big inheritance.
Yeah, sure.
Wow.
No, I mean, if you're going to do it, that's the way to
so
do it.
So bad now.
Anyway, so just sort of fascinating. That's it. That's all I've got that's new. Should we take a break?
All right.
Do some actual articles of news?
I need a break after all that.
Oh, jeez.
Let's go get something to drink and a snack and...
Kick it back a little bit. Okay, we'll come back in the second half with actual articles of news.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails with feedback from customers. Here's one. Dear Dan, I want to thank you for the help you gave my mom with her computer. She's gone from being frustrated to fascinated. I'm not overjoyed, though, that every picture of me that she has is now on Facebook. But she loves the computer and is happier than I've seen her in her whole life because of your team. You guys are the best. Signed, Happy. Dear Happy, in our company training meetings, we always teach everyone to treat every customer like they're your mom. At PC Laptops, we'll hold your hand every step of the way. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $799 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops location. $799? You can't beat that. While supplies last, quantities are highly limited. Please visit us at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. I know you'll be happy too. Hey, Ma!
Utah's newest upscale catering company is now accepting bookings for the upcoming holiday and wedding season. Slick Rock Catering masterfully combines exquisite food, beautiful presentation, high-level service, and careful attention to create a special occasion that will be remembered. From award-winning food, event planning, decorating, to providing highly trained servers, Slick Rock Catering will help you make your next special event a huge success. Contact them at slickrockcatering.com.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Time for the second half of Articles News, where we do
the news.
Actual Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
I've got a bunch of weird ones. Weird stories.
Good. I like the weird ones.
Some of them are really weird. Like, I want to talk about the stories, not actually tell you the stories. Talk about how weird they are. Let me just give you, like, a tease of some headlines, right?
I'm fine to just talk about it.
So stick around for this, because I think we'll end on this story. Glastonbury man becomes Mormon as a joke. So that's coming up. Why a former Tongan senior missionary still swims with sharks at night.
Mm.
Like that is some of the stuff to come up. Let's do some of the quick ones just to kill them, get them out of the way here. Three Payson teens. Payson is a city here in Utah. They're
teenagers
arrested after
people.
Reportedly vandalizing the church.
Oh.
$20,000 worth in damage. The boys, get this. One, 13 years old. The other two, 14. They were booked into the Slate Canyon Youth Detention Center down in Provo on suspicion of burglary, third degree felony, criminal mischief, a second degree felony, reckless burning and theft. One of the 14-year-old boys was also charged with giving false personal information to a police officer. My name is Gordon Hinckley. About 10 a.m. Tuesday, deputies responded to a church for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The teens had reportedly entered in at 9 p.m. Sunday and spent several hours inside. A neighbor told deputies that several teenage boys dumped trash on his lawn that same night. They'd reportedly thrown hymn books through the ceiling tiles in the hallway and started small fires in a classroom. The fires were lit in garbage can using hymn books and paper. They also reportedly stole candy, food, pens.
Candy, food? Where's this stuff?
Nursery.
Oh.
Pens, pencils, and emptied three fire extinguishers covering nearly the entire chapel.
They spent some time in there.
Yeah, a couple hours.
Dumb.
The Philadelphia Temple had almost 100,000 visitors before it was dedicated. For about a month, closing on the 9th of September, there were more than 141,000 curiosity seekers who took a tour of the building, the first Mormon temple to be in Pennsylvania. The church believes that more than half were not members of the Mormon faith. Visitors included key leaders from religious, business, academic, and civic organizations, as well as families, neighbors, journalists, and community members. Visitors came from across the United States and more than 20 countries. More than 5,000 volunteers from the church served as ushers, tour guides, parking attendants, and musicians, handled first aid or security. The temple is now dedicated. It was dedicated on September 18th, almost exactly 5 years to the day that it was broken. The ground was broken, September 17th, 2011. So that was cool. Also, this about temple news, the dedication of the Connecticut Temple is set for November 15th. The church will dedicate what will be the 155th Latter-day Saint Temple in Farmington, Connecticut. With over 150 temples all over the world and approximately 70 alone here in the United States, the church is about to get bigger. Dedication of the first Mormon temple in Connecticut this November. The open house starts in Connecticut September 30th through doesn't say, but shortly before the 20th November dedication. It's a roughly 25,000 square foot building located at Farmington Avenue and Melrose Drive, expected to serve close to 15,000 Mormons who live in Connecticut. So that's kind of exciting. That's another temple news.
I got more temple news. The 154th temple.
Which is?
About that one.
What?
The one in Afton, Wyoming.
Tell me.
In Afton, Wyoming, former Vice President Dick Cheney visited the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints' new Star Valley, Wyoming temple as part of a special entourage of visitors given a tour of the new edifice prior to the start of the public open house. Joining the former Vice President was Wyoming Governor Matt Mead, who was accompanied by other elected officials flying into Afton's small airport for the special guest tour conducted by Elder Larry Wilson, General Authority 70 and Executive Director of the Church's Temple Department. Cheney, who served under Republican President George Bush from 2001 to 2009 and also served as a U.S. Congressman from Wyoming, called the temple the Church's 154th operating temple, but the first in the state, enormously important. He called it a historic day for those of us who are not members of the LDS Church. It's a magnificent testimony to the faith of the people of this part of Wyoming. And after the tour, he told Deseret News, "My wife, Lynn, is descended from Mormon stock."
How about that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
"And we have a history that has two great-grandmothers who went west in that early period, in the early 1850s.
Hmm. So Dick Cheney should be Mormon, but someone in his family stopped going.
Yeah. And when he went in, everybody ducked.
That's
an old duck hunting joke.
Old shotgun Cheney. more temple news. Are you ready for this? This is my temple. The Cedar City LDS Temple is now crossed a significant milestone. We posted this. If you're not following the Facebook page for the Cultural Hall, you should do so. The video of the Angel Moroni being placed on top of the Cedar City Temple. there were delays as dozens of construction workers posed for photos with the statue. When a crane finally hoisted the statue from its crate at 12:20, the crowd erupted in cheers. One girl near the fence squealed, "Oh my goodness!" over and over. "It was cool, but kind of annoying because it kept going up and down," said Cedar City resident Logan Nelson, who is 10, adding that he wondered if the construction crew was just practicing, like it kept going up and down.
Yeah.
And
I see these guys in hard hats. "Now take mine, now take mine," handing the other guy the phone, putting their arm around it, getting the picture of it.
The addition of the statue of the Cedar City Temple is a significant construction milestone. The church has not yet released a completion date for the project. The recently completed Fort Collins Temple in Colorado received its Angel Moroni statue in August of 2015, and it will be dedicated on October 16th, approximately 14 months after the statue is placed. So, dedication probably for Cedar City next fall, they think. When the temple is complete, the church will most likely hold an open house for a few weeks, giving Southern Utahns the chance to tour the temple before it's dedicated. However, once it's dedicated, writes this really educational article, only Latter-day Saints in good standing will be allowed to enter the building.
Keep out, Dick Cheney.
Even though his pioneer stock.
Well, until he's...
I didn't know he was from Wyoming.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. The Cheneys of Wyoming. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where he was the senator.
That makes a lot of sense. I just didn't know it.
Yeah.
What other stories do you have? Tease me for a second and I'll tell you which ones
I want. The LDS Paralympians.
Okay.
Who medaled.
Yeah, let's do that right now.
Want to do that? Yeah. So the Paralympic Games just finished up in Rio. And there were actually quite a few LDS participants in
Smythe, that runner.
That's the first one on here. Jason Smythe. 29 of Belfast, North Ireland. Stake won his third gold medal in the 100-meter division. He's also won in gold in 2012 and 2008. So basically, he dominates.
Yeah, he's fast. He almost made and I hate to say it like this, but I don't know how else to say it. He almost made just the Olympics, too, because he's blind. He's got Stargardt's
disease.
Yeah, Stargardt's disease. So he just can't see very well. But he. So that's it. That's what.
Could
makes
I be
him,
in the Olympics?
Could you?
If you can get in for not seeing very well in the Paralympics.
Yeah. Maybe. We'd have to classify it. But that. So that's.
Yeah.
Like when you think Paralympians, I think a lot of people are like, you know, maybe you're missing a limb or something like that. That's right. That is his thing, and he almost made the regular Olympics.
Yeah, I've known some cyclists who are blind who are on a tandem bike. So completely blind.
Really?
And in the Paralympics, and they're on a bike with somebody else, somebody that can see on the front.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So does the guy on the front not pedal at all?
He does, yeah. They pair them up, and I forget how they do it. There's a classification for the person. You couldn't take, Lance Armstrong and stick him on
cheater.
The front. Yeah. For many reasons.
Yeah. That's the only reason, actually. That's the only reason you couldn't take him. Okay,
yeah,
who else?
Also, from Eagle Mountain, Utah resident David Blair of the Eagle Mountain, Utah Stake won a gold and set a world record in the discus.
Shut up.
Yeah. And then Team USA, including Josh Wheeler, took silver in wheelchair rugby after a match that went into double overtime against Australia.
Okay.
So I'll just mention the gold medal or the medal winners. And there were a lot more that were in the games, a lot more than I thought.
You can find a link to that, by the way, at theculturalhall.com, as well as a link to all of these stories that we've shared with you. Have you ever been to the Christmas concert with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir?
I have, yeah.
Well, then pay attention. If you
only
plan
once,
on...
and it was with DJ Rob, actually.
Really?
Yes.
That's fun. Well, this headline... you need to pay attention to. Mormon Tabernacle Choir announces huge change to the Christmas ticket lottery.
Oh.
In an email addressed to fans who requested tickets in previous years, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir announced this year's tickets will be on a first-come, first-served basis.
Whoa.
If you've ever received tickets to see the choir's Christmas concert, you'll notice the enormous change from how they've sent tickets in the past. They've asked you who you are, what time zone you live in, or when you register for eligibility. You supposedly had the same chance to get tickets as anyone else in your shoes, but not this year. According to the email, the random selection method resulted in some processing delays and people not being able to select the night for their tickets, and in other handling problems at the box office. This year, patrons will be able to see which nights are available at the time they make their selection and will know at the end of their request which night their tickets are for. All in all, it sounds like the change will be positive for attendees who are quick enough to claim tickets when the site makes them available. If seeing the choir at Christmas is a tradition for you, this says we wish you the best of luck. The choir also includes answers to a few important other questions. Will the website be able to handle a large volume of ticket requests? The ticket office, what if I can't get through? But it does not say when they're made available. So we'll make sure that we let people know
No, let's not.
At the Cultural Hall.
No, let's not let them know. Until I get my tickets, let's not let them know.
Yeah.
We'll announce it after.
Also, if you really want to go wait in line. You can usually get in.
Oh, you mean day of show up and...
Yeah, and wait a really long time.
Yeah.
Like if you have to go. There's a new book. The book is called, let me read this for you, from the girls, from the authors of Girls Who Choose God comes the book, Our Heavenly Family, Our Earthly Family. It's exciting, writes this article, that the LDS Church's official publishing arm is releasing a book that talks openly and unapologetically about Heavenly Mother. As a deity who loves, leads, and guides us. It's also exciting and long, long past time, writes Jenna Reese, this author from Flunking Sainthood. To have such a book show earthly fathers and mothers as equal partners in raising their children without falling into gender stereotypes. So the book, again, is called Our Heavenly Family, Our Earthly Families, by MacArthur Krishna, Bethany Brady Spaulding. And here's the cover of it. Look at that.
Oh.
That might be a fun interview that we can get here in the Cultural Hall. I'll work on getting those folks in. So that book available by Christmas time. And then this, we've had him in the show before. Local rapper James the Mormon. This is a week or so old now. If you go to theculturalhall.com, you can see his brand new video of Telling You Why.
It's been all over. Yeah.
It's out on YouTube. It features Ty Detmer, Danny Ainge, Ziggy Ansah, and Kyle Van Noy, who play for a Detroit Lions right now, who are former BYU players. Chad Lewis, who played for the Eagles. Tom Holmo, who's the BYU athletic director, and Austin Colley, who plays for the Indianapolis Colts. And there's some pretty cool stunts in there from Cosmo. And performances from the university's marching band and the Cougarettes. Those beautiful, beautiful Cougarettes. The one that's featured. I'm wondering if that's somebody's girlfriend. Have you seen the video?
Yeah.
Because it's her most of the time.
Uh-huh.
Like that one. Like they show everybody, but like that featured is that one. I'd be interested to know that. But Telling You Why is what it's called. And you can see that at theculturalhall.com. What else do you have?
I've got... a new article of faith.
Okay, we believe.
For these Mormons, we believe.
Does it start, we believe?
Starts, we believe.
Okay.
Now, this isn't an actual one that's going to be in the books yet, but this is a group that's made it up. We believe Trump should never be president.
Oh.
So this is
amen.
A group of grassroots coalition of Mormons has joined the Never Trump movement. More than 100 Latter-day Saints, single, married, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, teachers, Republicans, Democrats, it lists them all here.
Doesn't matter. Just never Trump.
Have signed an online agreement that the threat posed by Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump supersedes party boundaries. The Donald plays on the same kind of prejudices that fueled the persecution of Mormons that deprived them. Direct forebears to many modern Mormons of their land, homes, and in many instances, lives. The statement continues, "We of all the people should know the scent of persecution when we smell it." It ends with a plea to the fellow Latter-day Saints of whatever political persuasion to protect our constitutional order from the disaster of a Trump presidency, to make a choice for liberty, for peace, for responsible government, and to vote against Donald Trump this November. So we'll see if it makes it onto the banner on my wall, because I've already got 12 buttons and they're all pasted on it for each article of faith that I memorized. And then they gave me a thing and I would glue it on there.
And then you got a tie tack.
Yeah.
Now, what was the big prize for you at the end?
I don't know that I got one. It was just having all 12 of them filled up.
There's 13.
I mean, 13 of them filled up. This is the 14th
yeah.
article of faith.
To go sort of along with that, this is from the Pew Research Center. The share of U.S. Mormons who identify as Republicans has dropped, and it's all Donald Trump's fault. It's dropped sharply from 2012 when Mitt Romney headed the GOP ticket. More than 60% of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints said in 2012 that they were Republicans. Now, 48% say the same, according to Pew. Pew also found that Mormons, which Pew is a fun thing to say, Pew!
It is.
also found that Mormons who say they lean Republican or count themselves as officially part of the GOP still account for a large percentage, that is 69%, though that's down from 78% 4 years ago, and about 24% of Latter-day Saints say they lean or consider themselves Democrats. So, kind of fascinating. I mean, not a surprise to anyone, but it is less than it was a few years back.
And Rob, I blame DJ Rob.
Yeah, well, he's doing converting. Such a good job telling people about being liberal.
Letting them know it's okay.
Okay, so now, what other stories do you have?
I've got the new manual, The Lord Giveth and the Manual Taketh Away.
Okay.
And I have the other story that I'm hesitant about.
Oh, the genital mutilation?
Yes.
No, we should talk about that.
All right.
That.
We should.
We'll okay. Well, let me go here then. I think this is sort of a fascinating story. This is out of Utah. It's a 56-year-old man told a judge that he found God while he was serving in jail for 20 years. Timothy Morgan Butler spoke at a scheduled sentence hearing before Judge Glenn Dawson on Tuesday. He said that he found God while he read the Book of Mormon when he was in jail. Butler asked if he could speak in court for a few minutes and said that he had accepted a plea deal on July 26. He entered guilty pleas to 3 counts of attempted aggravated sexual abuse of a child, which is first-degree felonies, Second District Court, according to online records. Each felony Butler pleaded guilty carries a possible sentence of 3 years to life in state prison. So he's essentially 9 years to life in prison, right? And he said at the time that he committed the crimes, he didn't believe in God. 3 months into his sentence, Butler said that he received work release and his fiance would pick him up from the jail and drive him to his job in Salt Lake County because his driver's license had been suspended.
Wait, he was sentenced to 9 years to life in prison.
Now.
Oh, no.
So he'd been serving previously, but now...
How did he get out so early for work release?
Right. So he goes on, I made a stupid mistake, Butler said, but that's when he called his mother. Okay. The woman broke off their engagement, Butler said, so he decided to drive himself to work. He made a stupid mistake, Butler said. That's when he called his mother, but she refused to talk to him. Butler said his father spoke with him on the phone and told him to read the Book of Mormon. Butler said he didn't believe in God, but decided to read the book, and he couldn't put it down. He said he talked to his cellmate, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Says, quote, I knew there was a God. Butler then went on to say that later when he was released from jail, he read from 1 Corinthians, chapter 7 in the Bible, and went to a bishop of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints with questions concerning virgins. Butler said he was a member of the LDS Church at that time. Butler claims that verses in the chapter claim when a virgin passes a certain age, then a man can do what he wants and he hasn't sinned. As Butler left the courtroom, he said, God bless you, to Dawson for allowing him to speak. So, it's just sort of an all over the place. This guy, you know, finds God while he's in jail. During an interview with police, Butler told an officer the Bible did not set limits on the age between two partners. Right. So he's a creep.
Yeah.
Right. Essentially. Yeah. And he's taking it back to God, finding God and reading about God in the Book of Mormon. But here was the interesting thing that I thought, and I think maybe we'll talk about it on a future episode. If, in fact, a prisoner, right? Maybe we need to say crime. Maybe we don't need to say crime. goes to jail, finds God. Do you believe that a prisoner can find God? And is there some element of forgiveness that you give said prisoner, maybe not necessarily that guy, but who claims to find God while he's in prison? Or do we discount it and say he's just trying to get out on early leave? He, she is just trying to get out on early leave.
I think they can find God in prison, definitely. Right. I don't think we let him out for it. I think it can help them in prison to maybe clean it up so they get out earlier.
Sure.
You know, good behavior. But I don't think it should be any...
But does it change in your mind? Does it change in your mind anything? Like one of the things I have no tolerance for is kid touching, right? And that guy's a kid toucher. So does that change anything in your mind where he's like, listen, I found God and I feel different about
definitely
it?
Definitely not.
To you, it doesn't.
No.
And
they might actually truly change. I don't know. I heard a whole NPR talk on this a couple months ago. Fascinating about your brain and how it can change over a course of years, because your brain is replaced after so many years with new cells. And you can be a different person. But I don't think that they should be let off, you know, even if they are different, even if they have actually changed. No,
right.
They still have to serve out the punishment for it.
But does it? I'm not debating whether the punishment should be served, but does it change in your mind?
For
say, for example, that guy. Right? Like, he did that. He serves his time. He gets out. Are you able to forgive him because he said he found God?
It's hard for me to really internally, but I want to.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody deserves that second chance and hope for the best. But really inside in the back of my head, it's hard to.
Yeah.
For certain crimes such as that.
Yeah. Interesting. That's all. I've still got four stories. You've still got one. And I think I'll lighten it up a little bit with my senior missionary that swims with the sharks at night.
Let's do
the one about genital mutilation real quick.
Yeah, Mormon apostle Jeffrey R. Holland may be the first LDS leader to ever mention female genital manipulation.
Mutilation, not manipulation.
Mutilation.
Is it manipulation or mutilation?
Mutilation.
Okay.
Which is, if you don't know what that is, in some countries they do this to women to take away pleasure.
It's fairly graphic, so we'll give you a warning now. For the next minute, it may be a little bit graphic, but okay. So now here's your warning. There, that was your warning. They, as I understand it, like they cut the clitoris.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So that there's no pleasure with sex.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I knew about some things of genital mutilation. I had no idea that that's what it was.
Yeah. It makes me uncomfortable. So I'm glad that you said it for me.
Yeah.
In a September 11th speech at a 4-day conference in the United Kingdom titled Religious Persecution, the Driver for Forced Migration, Holland told attendees that sexual attacks do not happen only during war. Instances of female genital mutilation, removable of body appendages, and honor killings persist during times of peace. The obviously emotional apostle said, God knows of the women's suffering and weeps with them. The inclusion of the female genital mutilation, in which the, as we described what happened earlier, startled Chad Emmett, who teaches geography at the LDS Church on Brigham Young University. Emmett wrote about female mutilation among global Mormons for the online journal Square 2, in which he concluded that LDS higher up had never spoken about the topic. I've not yet found any official Mormon leader in talks or articles or handbooks that there isn't much that has mentioned this, and that there isn't much evidence of that being practiced by Latter-day Saints in countries where it is common. There are some countries where it is pretty common. A lot of African countries, in certain areas, it's just commonplace. It's what they do. The BYU professor discovered that other Christian leaders in Africa had spoken out against the practice, but not LDS officials until Holland.
It's interesting, too. There's been a huge upsurge in people talking about circumcision being male genital mutilation.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that when that article posted online, there was a bunch of people that are like, well, we're speaking out about it against women, which is great, but what about men and circumcision? And then there's all the people that are like, well, it's cleaner and it, you know, it's, what about all this? Anyway, so that's a fascinating thing. That might be, a whole episode of the Cultural Hall talking about genital mutilation.
I wonder who will do that with you.
Yeah.
Because it won't be me.
No. That is uncomfortable for you.
Yeah.
Got it. I hear you there. All right. So let me tease you the four articles, or the three articles, and you tell me which one you want first. Number one, Mormon church leaders, there's an easy fix to prevent Mormon LGBT suicides. Or, how do I engage my Mormon neighbor? Or, why a former Tongan senior missionary still swims with sharks at night? Tell me which order.
I don't want to end with the first one, so let's do it now.
Okay.
I don't want to end on a negative.
What do you want after
end
that?
End up with the sharks.
With the sharks? Well, I'm going to end it with Glastonbury man becomes Mormon as a joke.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We'll get to that, I'll go in that order then.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. This from Huffington Post, and I shared this again at the Cultural Hall's Facebook page. On November 5th, that's when the new... the new policy within the church came out. The policy change states that the children of legally married same-sex parents are not allowed to be members of the Mormon church until they turn 18 years old. Then they will be forced to choose, according to this Huffington Post article, between their parents who raised them and their church. If they choose the Mormon church, they would have to renounce their parents and their parents' sexual orientation. The suicides began immediately, says this article. It was reported that just in the first few months after the new church policy took effect, 32 Mormon teens took their own lives. Mormon apostle Dallin H. Oaks went on to say about the Mormon teen suicides. Again, this is fairly lefty because this is the Huffington Post. So let me share this and then we'll talk about it. Elder Oaks says, I'm aware that those tragic things happen. Those things have to be judged by a higher authority than exists on this earth, which became a PR disaster for the Mormon church. In the months to follow the policy change, so many Mormon families were hurting that church leaders finally issued a rare acknowledgement on all of the suicides. The church-owned Deseret News covered it with this headline, LDS church leaders mourn reported deaths in Mormon LGBT community. And you can find links to all this at theculturehall.com. On January 10th, the Mormon church did an about-face. Apostle Russell M. Nelson said in a speech at BYU Hawaii that it was not actually a policy change, but the LGBT ban came directly from God. That hard-to-swallow bit of damage control 2 months after the original church edict led to tens of thousands of more Mormon resignations. Now, this article asserts 125,000 resignations from the church and counting. One estimate says that that's how much it could be. One attorney in Salt Lake, and this is the guy that when people have done like the mass resignations that he's used, that they've used him to represent, says that he has personally handled 12,000 resignations alone. And then this article asserts that the figure is on top of the nearly 1 million Mormons who have resigned since California's Proposition 8, which they need to have certainly a lot more source for that than this article has. But you can read this at theculturalhall.com. So the solution, according to this, there's an easy fix for the First Presidency and the 12 Mormon apostles. Come up with a new and welcoming policy for LGBT Mormons and present it at your general conference in Salt Lake this weekend. Open your doors to all members of the LGBT community and their families, just like you did for African Americans 40 years ago. Simply issue a statement at the upcoming general conference. Use loving words like you did back when you said all worthy male members of the church may be ordained to the priesthood without regard for race or color. Just change it to slightly read all worthy members of the church may be ordained to the priesthood without regard for sexual orientation or gender identity. The Mormon church would help lead the way toward equality for all by acknowledging that times and families are changing. Let everyone in the world know that they are welcome in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It would stop all of your membership losses and instead help to grow the church again. This is a recommendation from the Huffington Post. Interesting article. I share it more for the... I believe the 12,000 from the lawyer here in the Salt Lake... Right? Because I know a lot of people who have kind of been sitting on their resignation from the church and for whatever reason, either with Prop 8 or with the policy change, have just said, okay, you know what? I'm not I'm not going to do this anymore.
And why do you need a lawyer to resign from
You don't necessarily need a lawyer, but it, I know, because like if you were to try and resign, right? If you said, hey, I want to resign, then the bishop would come out and he'd talk to you, Brother Kyle, how are you? What's going on? I received that you want to get, you know, that you want to resign. And there, so there is sort of that process, right? But if you go through an attorney, then you just go, hey, you know what? I'd like to resign my, and I've filled out the proper paperwork. Don't contact me, contact an attorney. And then they won't. Because wow,
what a cash cow. What does that guy charge per person
nothing.
To do that?
He does it for free.
Oh, all right.
This article I thought was interesting. With the headline, how do I engage my Mormon neighbor? I thought it was a thing out of Provo, Utah, but it's not. It's actually just sort of a ridiculous article, and I'm not going to give it too much credence. If you go to theculturalhall.com, you can read it. It's, well, I'll read this first part. I can still remember the first day I saw two well-dressed young men making their way up our cul-de-sac. To my 10-year-old eyes, they appeared nice enough. They wore white-collared shirts, black pants, and respectable neckties like the men at church. Still, when I told my mother who was coming, she gave me a heavy sigh and proceeded to turn our house into Fort Knox. I was given specific instructions not to answer the door and not to leave the house until both men had left the neighborhood. By now, you've probably discerned the identity of our mysterious visitors, writes this article by Ryan Duncan. They were Mormons, and this wouldn't be the last time that they came knocking. Over the years, I've discovered Christians have differing views on how to interact with Mormons. Most people I know prefer to avoid them. A few, like my former youth leader, enjoy debating with them whenever they turn up. And then there are Christians like Mike Leake who believe we should follow the words of 2 John that says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. That seemed pretty harsh, but in his latest post on Borrowed Light, Leake argues that this verse isn't encouraging believers to slam the door, but to instead recognize the significance of fellowship. For example, receiving someone in older cultures carried different social connotations than it now does. Anyway, I thought it was funny because it's a guy who writes about all of his experiences of having the Mormon missionaries come to his house and has taken great pains to write about, if I talk to them, am I being a traitor to my religion? Am I welcoming them? Am I, you know, these horribly wicked Mormon people who don't bring the message of Christ, if I allow them into my house, is that welcoming them and welcoming some sort of curse or some sort of, you know, is that allowing God's unword into my house? Anyway, it's fascinating.
Just tell him it doesn't say so in the Book of Mormon, so he's fine.
Hey, here in the Book of Mormon it says we're cool, so can we come in? Or what's the deal? Okay, swimming with sharks. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is cool. Luini Hunai from Tonga, 64-year-old senior missionary. He wore his name tag and white shirt by day, and then at night sported an underwater flashlight, spear, and swam with the sharks. Any idea why?
No. Just no for idea? Fun?
Nope, not just for fun.
Fishing.
He's fishing. He's a native Tongan. He and his wife serving. They're from California. And he goes on to say, there isn't much tourism or industry in Tonga, so it's hard for people to find work. Probably 10 to 15% of the people are so poor that it breaks your heart, but they're very happy and spiritual people. With so many members and non-members living in handmade homes of scrap material, cloth doors, and outdoor kitchens, Huni knew he could provide something for the poor when he was young. Huni's father taught him how to fish, so for 3 or 4 nights a week, Huni started taking a 5-hour swim.
Wow.
5 hours a night, 3 or 4 nights a week, to catch fish for the poor. He'd swim 5 to 10 miles out into the ocean beyond the safety of the reef to search for sleeping fish with his underwater flashlight. Staying parallel to the coastline, Hunai fished until he caught 40 to 50 fish, which he would string on the rope which he carried with him. While other fishermen catch fish to make a living, Hunai distributed 90% of what he caught to the poor, whether they were members of the church or not. After observing Hooney's action, Radmacher, one of the guys, wanted to be a part of the process when Hooney's wife was away visiting family. Radmacher joined Hooney one night by driving him to the beach and flashing a light as his signal back to the shore. I was so taken by his actions, I took him to the ocean one night when his wife went to visit family. Even though I'd been with him delivering the fish, I hadn't actually seen him swim out to sea at night. It was a very scary feeling for me to watch him disappear into the black ocean. I drove to the pickup spot and waited one of the scariest 5 hours of my life, and I was safe in my car. I was afraid I'd be in the wrong place, that this would be one of the times that the sharks would get him, that something would happen, I'd never see him again. I can honestly say I prayed most fervently. I pled with Heavenly Father to bring him back safely, and all I could think was, he's too old to be doing this. His wife isn't here. Why would anyone put themselves in danger like this for others? Am I in the right spot to guide him back to safety? It was a physical thing for him, but a mental challenge for the guy back on the shore. Anyway, he said, he asked him, Hooney, are you afraid of sharks? He said, oh, God protects me. The sharks come right up next to me, but they're my friends.
Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. 5 hours!
And it's like full stringers of fish.
Yeah, he's dragging around fish, swimming in the ocean at night.
Yeah, speared, bleedy fish on a stringer at night.
Oh, my gosh.
Cool story. Maybe
that
one
guy's
I should
my
even
hero.
End
that
it on.
That guy is cool.
Right?
I gotta say.
This guy, not so cool.
No.
A Glastonbury man, this is from United Kingdom, who went undercover and became a Mormon as a, quote, joke, and to expose the religion, has criticized the faith, calling it false and a cult on his YouTube channel. You know his YouTube channel. Comedian Danny Hyde has released video blogs explaining his time in the religion, including one 15-minute video that includes footage of followers of the Mormon religion attempting to convert him and his baptism. Quote, I want to make it perfectly clear that I never set out to do this, he said. They came to my house and tried to convert me. When I asked them clear and simple questions about what they were telling me, they answered me in riddles that had no relevance to the question that I just asked. In the end, I got so frustrated that I sarcastically announced that I all of a sudden agreed with everything that they had just said. Unable to read my quite obvious sarcasm, they asked me if they could book a date for my baptism, and I said yes. I never expected to go through with it, but with a little push from my friends and a personal thirst for an understanding of what their religion was about, I decided to see if I could get baptized without them realizing I was a fraud. It wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. I felt like James Bond going undercover on a top secret mission. It took a lot of guts, a lot of acting, and constant battle with my conscience. Danny said that he understands people who could think what he did was wrong, but he has defended his actions and he's now trying to warn people against joining the religion. Quote, I know on the surface it seems what I did was wrong, but as I realized the extent of the lies that the church feeds its victims in order to keep them obedient, I began to realize exposing them for what they are was a good thing, and the guilt began to fade, he said. And the 3 months I spent as a Mormon, I learned a lot about the church, and I feel people should know what they're really about. Quote, it's not a harmless little religion like they want people to think it is. It is a cult started by a convicted con man conning people into believing complete lies in order to amass huge financial wealth. Quote, I made a video on YouTube that has been very well received by ex-Mormons from all over the world who, like me, are passionate about exposing the church for what it really is. Quote, if I can stop one person from joining them or make one person leave them, I feel like becoming an undercover Mormon was 3 months well spent. Somerset Live approached Malcolm Adcock, spokesman for the Mormon faith in the United Kingdom, officially known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for his response, which was, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints strive to live their lives in accordance with the teachings of Jesus Christ. These missionaries have accepted the Savior's invitation to share his teachings by sacrificing their time and means to invite others to learn about Jesus Christ. Mr. Hyde's choice to act as he does not diminish the importance of the gospel truths shared by the missionaries who tried to help him.
You got us.
Yeah.
Yep. Pew, pew. Ah.
If I can help. You know, the weirdest part was, right? So after he got done, after he was baptized, he went down to the ocean. And he grabbed a starfish. And he looked at the starfish and he threw it back in the ocean. saving its life. And someone came up and asked, "There's no way. There's no way you can possibly throw all the starfish back." And he goes down and he picks up a starfish. And he throws it back in and he looks at him and he says, "You know what? It mattered to that one." The Glastonbury jokester. That's it.
Joke's on him. How much time did he spend getting
Three months.
Well, joke's on you, buddy.
Yep.
We wasted 3 months of your life.
Yeah, no refund.
We knew you were faking it.
Yeah.
We just wanted to waste your time.
How far is he going
to
go with this thing? I don't know. Keep going. You don't get a refund on tithing, Danny Hyde. Danny boy. I got nothing. We hope this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you're sick or afflicted, you can be well and listen next time.
And that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.